Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We return for the second hour of our session with Jason Offutt. He's author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. Nick Redfern is your co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're always in the Paracast, even when you're not in the Paracast, because that's what the paranormal is all about. So here's what I did, folks. I put a forum message up at forum.thepowercast.com, and I said, hey, you got a question for Jason. And some of our people, by the way, have actually read his books. But I'm going to hit Jason with these questions. You all ready for him?
Oh, I am, and your listeners sound like good people. They've already read my books.
Okay, so therefore, we'll have good questions. One of our questions comes from Angelo. He's one of our forum moderators. He's also somewhat of a skeptic on a lot of these things. He says, I'd love to know if he has anything with regards to actual proof that he can provide, something that can change the mind of a skeptic like me. And he says he lives in an area near Quebec, Mont-Saint-Hilaire, that supposedly has weird things going on. So, okay, can you change Angelo's mind, Jason?
No. And here's why. People who are really looking for that kind of proof, unless they experience something themselves, their mind's not going to change. I've got a couple of friends who are scientists, which is really one of the cool things about working at a university. You can go down to the local bar and drink beer with scientists. But they are also involved with the paranormal, and they want to prove it. The problem is, in order to prove something and get it out of the realm of the paranormal, you need repeatability. And you're not going to see a ghost at the same place night after night after night after night and be able to register it on any sort of scientific equipment, you know, with regularity. So it's one of those things, until we get a body, until we're holding, you know, an extraterrestrial artifact, or, you know, have a ghost in some kind of, you know, Ghostbusters containment unit. You know, skeptics like that are not going to change their mind unless they personally experience something.
Is that maybe saying that we can never prove any of this?
No, I think things can get proven. I mean, a lot of things we take for granted today was unknown at some point. The telegraph. When newspaper accounts came out of the Telegraph back in 1844, the readers thought, this is just a bunch of bunk. It's a bunch of hooey. This is impossible. But eventually, when the thing got widespread use and people saw it for their own eyes, it was no longer bunk. So, you know, when things are scientifically proven, then people are going to be not believers, of course, because they don't have to be. People will just know that it's true.
That's not paranormal. It is normal.
Right.
Okay, question from someone who calls himself Blowfish, a regular visitor to our forums. He has two questions. The first, why do you think paranormal events happen in such confined places as homes, bedrooms, and gardens? And he refers to abductions, poltergeists, and sightings, etc. Why?
Because that's where people are. They probably happen all the time, out in the backyard in the middle of the night where nobody is, or out in the woods, out on top of a very lonely mountain. But we're not there. And that's why people see them in their bedrooms, because, well, that's where people are at night. So, I mean, it's the same with when people ask me, why do strange things happen at night? Well, that's because it's dark and quiet and we're paying more attention to things around us. Things probably happen during the day all the time. It's just we've got our iPods going, or we're driving somewhere and just don't notice them.
And I hope they don't have their iPhones and iPods and iPads going in such a way that while they're driving, they don't pay attention to the road. But then, what can I say? But that's also maybe a reason maybe to have cameras or something set up in areas where things happen to see if you can capture something. I know Christopher O'Brien, one of our other co-hosts, has tried to do that. What do you think of that kind of investigative technique?
Well, cameras, I mean, before Photoshop, I would trust photographic evidence. Now I don't. And I've got students who can make anything up on still photos or video that look believable. So I don't trust any sort of photography whatsoever.
Let's look at the follow-up question. What's your most terrifying experiences when encountering your research and have these, and this is what he says, strange awareness followed you home. So that's like a multi-part question, terrifying experiences and whether something has followed you home. So let's go to both parts.
Okay, I'm going to address the second one first. One of the things that I don't do is investigate the paranormal. I'm not a paranormal investigator. I don't run around with equipment. The only equipment I have is a notebook, a pen, a camera, and a tape recorder. Those are the tools of a journalist. So that's how I approach things. Because if you go out looking for them, they're going to find you. And my wife specifically said, Jason, I want you to do this because you really enjoy it, but do not bring your work home.
Bring UFOs, Bigfoot, or ghosts home either.
Or don't have the Men in Black in for a cup of tea. No, I've not had anything follow me home.
And what kind of tea do the Men in Black even like, you know?
I'm not sure, but they'll drink what I have.
They have no choice.
Right, but I get a little bit of Earl Grey in the cabinet, so that's what they're going to get.
So the former now about terrifying experiences.
I really haven't had terrifying experiences. I've gone places to where I've been uncomfortable. I really don't get scared because I don't think any of this stuff can really hurt me. Bigfoot, on the other hand, yes. But ghosts and things like that, I don't really think they can hurt me. So I don't get scared. I go to cemeteries at 2 a.m. I hang out at midnight at the place. You know, somebody hanged themselves in a Victorian mansion back in 1894, and I experienced nothing. The only major things that have happened have been strange cold spots. I heard out of a completely empty room the word Stratton screamed in a house that's purportedly haunted, and there was a guy with me named Stratton who was in the other room, and I could hear him. He was yelling at the ghost, come out, you're afraid to face me. So that wasn't terrifying, it was just weird.
And he wouldn't come out, that cowardly ghost.
That cowardly ghost.
Oh, we have to worry about that. Let's move to another question. From the forums, forum.thepowercast.com, Shani, one of our regulars, and she's been on the show, by the way. She's really a great lady from the UK. And she says, I find Jason Offutt's reports on the black-eyed people phenomenon interesting. Therefore, and this is a three-part question, I would be really interested to know what his personal thoughts are on the origins of these reports. Does he believe genuine non-human entities to be involved? If so, what sort of entity does he think they might be? And here's the fourth part. What's the earliest record he has of this phenomenon being reported? From Shani.
Wow, I needed to take notes on that. The origins, what these things are, I'm not sure. I've talked to some people who claim to know. I've talked to one person who claims to be one of these entities. This person has told me that black-eyed people look like us. They have regular eyes until they, get into a heightened emotional state, and their eyes will change black, and they love terrifying people. And that they're an offshoot of their race is an offshoot of Eve when she mated with the serpent in Genesis in the Bible. That person's explanation as to what black-eyed people are. To me, their behavior seems demonic. If you go in for that sort of thing, but as to what they are 100%, I don't know. But they're terrifying. There have been a lot of people who have. Who poo-pooed the whole thing as a misidentification, which some of them very well could be, of a medical problem or drug use. And I've interviewed a lot of professionals, not professional drug users, but biochemists and physicians. And any case that the pupil gets huge, it will not do what a black-eyed kid is supposed to do, which is cover the entire eye.
It almost sounds like the science fiction movies, and we'll explore the rest of the answer to that question from Shani in just a moment. We have Jason Offutt. He's author of What Lurks Beyond, The Paranormal in Your Backyard. Where else can it be? It's always in your backyard. Thank God it's not mine. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today. That sound could save your life. In our fast-changing world, you and your loved one may have limited time to escape dangerous nuclear radiation after a power plant accident, terror attack, or dirty bomb explosion. When that happens, you'll be glad you have Nuke Alert. More than just a radiation detector, Nuke Alert is a patented radiation monitor and alarm used nationwide by federal, state, and local first responders and the Department of Defense. Nuke Alert, attached to your keychain, is always with you and on 24/7 to promptly warn you of unseen but dangerously rising radiation levels. Nuke Alert incorporates a 10-year battery backed up by a 10-year warranty. See Nuke Alert in action at KI4U.com. That's K-I, the number 4, the letter U.com. When ordering anything at KI4U.com, type in GCN in the comment box at checkout and you'll get free two of their new just released peel and stick rad sticker decimeters as a free bonus. Go to KI4U.com today and be ready for anything nuclear unleashed tomorrow.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, yes, yes.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
Nick Redfern is our co-host. Jason Offutt is the author of What Lurks Beyond, the Paranormal in Your Backyard. I'm Gene Steinberg on the Paracast. We are looking at listener questions at forum.theparacast.com. Shawnee was asking a multi-part question about the black-eyed people And I was asking also about the fact that this is what you see in horror films. The pupils are either all black or all white, right?
Right. There are black contact lenses that they use, makeup people use in those horror movies. I did a fairly extensive article for Nexus Magazine on black-eyed kids back in the spring, and I interviewed people who have used those black contact lenses. And black-eyed kids reports are anywhere from seven-year-old little girls to people in their 20s. In interviewing somebody who bought a pair of black contact lenses, he told me there's no way anybody until they're like in their late teens would be able to stand having them on. They're extremely uncomfortable. They're really difficult to put in, and they pop out all the time. So that as an excuse as to this is what black-eyed kids are, people playing jokes. It could be the case in some of the cases of the older kids, but the younger ones, no. And besides, you need to have prescriptions, and they cost about $300 a lens.
And young kids aren't spending $300 a lens to just have black eyes. Or spoiled rich kids might, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
So what's the earliest record of this phenomenon?
I haven't got anything documented. I've talked to people who've said, yeah, I heard back in the day. But the earliest documented case only goes back to about 1998. It occurred in Arlington, Texas. A guy named Brian Bethel, who was a newspaper reporter, wrote an encounter that he had. He'd pulled into a strip mall fairly late at night, to pay his cable bill. He was going to slip in the mail slot. And when he was sitting in his car making out a check, two teenage boys, about 14 or 15, wearing hoodies, came up to the door of his car and said, "You got to let us in. You got to take us back to our house. We need money for the movies." And he felt automatically like he had to open the door. And he was reaching for the door to unlock it when he looked at the kids and saw that their eyes were completely black. And they were still insisting for him to let them in. And he just felt stark terror and tore the heck out of there. And as he was driving away, he looked back and there was nobody standing where they should have been standing. There was no place for them to hide either. I talked to this guy about 6 months ago, and he said, it happened in 1998 and it still scares the hell out of him. But that's the first really documented case we have.
Nick, you've covered a lot of different things in your writing career. Did you ever find a black-eyed person?
You know, actually haven't. I've read about them in various magazines and publications, and obviously, in the sort of work that Jason's done. I do know, some people who go down that path sort of speculate about the whole issue of alien-human hybrids and things like that. I mean, but then again, you have these sort of paranormal overtones and supernatural aspects as well. So who knows? I think, it's like a certain phenomena, like the black-eyed kids. It almost seems to come out of nowhere. One minute we're dealing with just the things that have always been with us, Bigfoot, ghosts, etc., and then something will just sort of, shake things up and there'll be a new phenomenon, in the same way that in the crypto field, the Chupacabra pretty much surfaced out of nowhere back in the 1990s. We suddenly get these spontaneous developments. Now, whether it's just that people are noticing them more, I think that's a possibility. And when people talk about them more, then other people realize, hey, that's actually what I saw, so they begin speaking about it. I think that's a possibility. But equally, I think there is something to be said for the idea that occasionally things like these black-eyed kid stories just seem to indicate maybe that the spontaneous generation of a new phenomenon or something.
Do you think, Jason, that maybe just talking about events over and over again may trigger some of them to happen? I guess we get back into the John Keel realm there.
Given my background, I'm skeptic in the true sense of the word. It's not that I automatically try and discount things. I don't. But I try and look at the evidence first. And to me, looking at it logically, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the more I do, and the more I've done research, it's making a little bit more sense.
I have here a skeptical question, okay? So it's going to be complicated, so you'll have to take notes, and maybe we'll have to take this to another segment of the show. The name of the poster uses the alias Piggy's Beef Trousers.
I'm scared already.
Well, okay, here we go. I found Jason's Shadow People book quite frustrating. From what I remember, it mainly came across as a bunch of scary Halloween stories with no real substance to any of it. Enjoyable enough, but lightweight. Okay, that's the criticism. Now he says these are the questions, multiple questions. Could you please ask him what lengths he goes to check his sources and the background to people's accounts? and whether he's had any experiences himself, well, that's answered already. His journalistic background has led to a style of writing that I sometimes feel, perhaps unfairly, concentrates on creating a good story ahead of presenting convincing evidence in detail. So there's actually one question with a lot of commentary. Jason?
About it just seems like a bunch of Halloween stories. I guess maybe they skipped the part where I interviewed psychiatrists, physicists, experts in Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, American Indian shamanism, the exorcist I interviewed. All of this research I did to try and answer the question in different religions and different cultures, what these shadow people entities are. And I found that these entities are in every belief system, every religious belief system, and they're all about the same type of entity. They're all dark, foreboding, and are considered evil. Except in Hinduism, they're considered spirits going from one realm to the other. Yeah, there are a lot of stories in there, but I did quite a bit of research also. Anyway, back to the. Now, what link do I go to check my sources? The experts, I make sure they are who they are. Of the people who I talk to about stories that they've, their own experiences, that's their experiences. What I can't really do a background check on, the trucker from Ohio who saw shadow people sitting in the cab of his truck.
So you can't necessarily go and give these people all lie detector tests, which may be what some people want.
Right, yeah, I can go sit down and have a beer with everybody I talk to.
It might be fun.
It might be fun.
And you'll get very drunk.
It would be fun.
Yeah, you get very drunk, though, doing that, right? And you have to drive back home at night.
Right, I wouldn't want one of them to. They see shadow people.
Oh, yes, be very complicated.
Well, I was just gonna say, may I go back to something Nick had said earlier about when we were talking about black-eyed kids and do they just appear out of nowhere? And something he said is something that I think completely, and I'm relating this to shadow people, is that the media started, or at least the paranormal media, started talking about shadow people in the mid-90s, and when Art Bell, became fascinated with it. Well, I had seen shadow people when I was a child back in the mid-70s, and that's what, in my mind, I called them, because that's what they looked like.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into shadow people in more detail in our next segment. We have Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond, The Paranormal in Your Backyard. Our co-host is Nick Redfern, and once we explore the shadow people, he'll take over the segment. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news letters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's 3-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. shop. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling four-herb tea.
The testimonials are incredible.
And so are the summer specials at HerbalHealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter iSafeBags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills?
That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more, all perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio
for over 10 years.
GCN. Great talk radio
starts here.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
We have Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond, The Paranormal in Your Backyard, new book covering events within 100 miles of his home in Missouri. And so he's from Missouri, so he's got to be a skeptical type, right?
Exactly.
Nick Redfern's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, shadow people. Do we equate shadow people with the black-eyed people? Are they almost the same?
No, I have found nothing that equates them. What I was kind of saying before the break is the fact that I think a lot of these different type of entities that just make it to the mainstream have been with us. It's just people haven't talked about it, or people think there's something else, or people are afraid to talk about it until they hear a report and go, hey, wait a second, I saw that. It's okay for me to talk about it now, which is what happened with shadow people, and I think is what's starting to happen with the black-eyed kids.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Jason, do you think there's any sort of correlations or parallels between the shadow people and some of the more paranormal-sounding Men in Black reports that people like Barker and Keel used to talk about? Not the notion of government agents, you know, who happen to dress in suits, but the sort of the weirder Men in Black stories.
I really haven't seen any correlation at all, except for there's one type of shadow person who appears to be wearing a suit and fedora. Of course, Men in Black have, you know, clear definition. You know, they have skin tone, albeit really, really, really white. Shadow people are just look like cookie cutters. They're, you know, complete silhouette. And shadow people behavior ranges anywhere from what I refer to as benign shadow people. I'm not saying that they are benign, but whoever notices them, the shadow people don't seem to see them. They're just going from point A to point B, and they just happen to be walking through somebody's house to do it. It ranges from that to shadow people who loom into your room in the middle of the afternoon and stare at you with blazing red eyes, or you will wake up in the middle of the night and they will be staring at you, and the person who encounters them feels just a stark fear that they've never felt before, and get the impression that the shadow person is enjoying that encounter. So it seems a lot more like, a lot of cases could be a ghost, a lot of cases could be, something wicked, something demonic, for lack of a better term. But is this something, sentient and ready to, threaten somebody about their UFO encounter? I don't think they have any correlation.
Okay. And what was it that sort of prompted you to write a book about that? I mean, it's a subject that I think people have heard about, but, nobody sort of really dealt with it to an in-depth level before.
Oh, the shadow people?
Was it just a case that you'd found a lot of reports and decided to collate them?
Well, it all goes back to, like I said, in the mid-70s when I saw these as a kid. I grew up in the country, and we could leave our window blinds open all the time because there were no houses around, and it was always bright for a night in my room. It was gray. I could see the books on my shelf. I could see my dresser. I could see the end of the bed. I could see my Farrah Fawcett poster on the wall. So I could see everything really, really clearly. And one night I saw one corner get really black in my room, and this human-shaped shadow walked out of it, walked by my bed, and walked into the hallway. And for the next 6 to 8 months, this kept happening. Sometimes there were one shadow person. Sometimes there was a line of 10 to 15. And from that point, that really spurred me to wonder, what the hell are these things? And I started writing about the paranormal. I just had to try and find an answer to that, just because it's bothered me for decades.
Okay. I was just going to say, just sort of totally moving the goalpost to a completely different area, one of the things that's fascinated me for many years, although it's a subject I've never written about, is time travel. And I know in What Lurks Beyond, you have a sort of a very sort of weird and intriguing and just generally strange story, which is maybe appropriate for the subject matter, which is actually on time travel and someone who, I guess the rumor was that he'd either stumbled upon inadvertently or deliberately the secrets of time travel. And I wonder if you could talk about that, because it's almost as interesting from the time travel perspective as it is a personal interest of the person concerned, from a human interest angle.
Well, this time travel is something that has fascinated me since I was a little kid and watched the Enterprise slingshot itself around the sun. I had heard about this case back in the mid-90s when I didn't live in this area. It involves a guy named Mike Markham, who was a 21-year-old electric school dropout from Rio Grande College in Ohio. And he'd moved to a small town called Stanbury, Missouri, which is 27 miles from where I'm sitting right now. And he was bored one day, and he built a Jacob's Ladder on the tabletop, which for the listeners of Jacob's Ladder is two vertical pieces of, or I guess diagonal pieces of metal, and you send an electric current between them, and it dissipates near the top. And he noticed there was some weird heat signature that shouldn't have been there that was hovering over this thing. So he did what any guy would do. He threw something at it. He picked a finishing screw up and threw it, and it hit the signature, and kind of it disappeared for a few seconds, and then reappeared and dropped straight onto the table. And Markham decided right then, he came to the conclusion that he'd built a time machine, and he wanted to build a man-sized one to jump through, not to increase the body of knowledge or do something good for mankind. He wanted to go in the future and get the lottery numbers. Again.
Well, that's commendable. I can dig that.
He's an American after all. He wants to get rich quick. And to build a man-sized one, he needed more juice. So him and a few friends stole six power line transformers from the local power light station. And when he hooked his machine up, the cops caught him because all the lights in town went off. This happened in 95, and I interviewed people who were there at the time of the arrest. I interviewed his arresting officer. I interviewed his jailer, and I interviewed friends of his when he moved to St. Joe later and talked about he was going to build one of these man-sized ones, again, legally, and people from across the country. This story had been on the Art Bell Show, and had been in the New York Times, and it was on the AP wire, so it was everywhere. people donated money and equipment to him. And his landlord kicked him out of his apartment in St. Joe because there was a story in the local paper that he was throwing cats through the machine. And this is a direct quote from Markham.
That's a violation of the lease, by the way.
I think so. This is a direct quote, he said in the news story. That cat thing, it ain't true. But then he disappeared. His friends hadn't seen him. He didn't say goodbye. He's just gone. And there was some speculation about what happened to him. And I actually found somebody in Cincinnati. Markham had moved back to Cincinnati, who a number of years ago lived in the same apartment complex with Markham and would play video games. And Markham would talk about his time machine and talked about going through it and described the iPhone to a T, described playing certain video games. And this was years before any of this stuff was released. So the guy I talked to is convinced that Markham actually went in time.
Okay, the iPhone to a T. Where's this documented?
This is the interview I had with him. Markham didn't write anything down. Didn't want any more publicity.
So we really don't know this has happened. Sure.
We don't know 100%.
That's unfortunate about predictions. You know, on a large scale, the fact that they're seldom documented before the event, and if they are documented before the event, quite often they don't happen. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's another time travel story that I haven't gone into in the book that involves Stephen Gibbs. Either of you familiar with Stephen Gibbs? Yeah,
nope.
He's...
But I'll tell you what, let's kind of move that to the next segment of the show. We have Jason Offit. He is author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. And that's not just his backyard, it's my backyard. It's our co-host Nick Redfern's backyard. We're going to start looking at Nick's backyard and see what happens over there in Texas. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to magicyellowflyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit magicyellowflyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit magicyellowflyer.com.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return with another hour spent with Jason Offutt. He's author of What Lurks Beyond, The Paranormal in Your Backyard. An earlier segment in the previous hour, we did answer, or at least have him attempt to answer, the questions from you listeners about all these strange and unknown things that he's been covering. And that's something that we'll be asking you to do for all the guests. Of course, the problem always is, of course, that we don't always have the guests line up before it's too late to figure out what question we should be asking. Okay, time travel. This didn't make it in the book, Jason. And why didn't it make it to the book?
Because the book was already finished when I finally got this. Anyway, this gentleman had claims to have gotten plans to build a time machine from himself in the future. And he sells them on the internet. If you saw Napoleon Dynamite, you saw one of his machines. And a couple of physicist friends of mine and I got a government grant to purchase one, and we're playing with it right now. So, yeah, that's where our tax dollars are going, to buy me a time machine.
Well, you know what? That's going to really be the subject of some severe criticisms on certain 24/7 cable stations. So tell me more about this time machine.
Oh, like I said, any listener who's seen Napoleon Dynamite has seen this machine, complete with quartz crystal and a very large electromagnet you stick between your legs. There is no shocking. The machine is supposed to take 3 minutes to warm up, and then you go forward in time. And I discovered that using the machine, I went 3 minutes forward in time.
Come again?
It took 3 minutes to warm up.
Okay. It takes 3 minutes to warm up, and then you really went back through time, or you're just kind of...
Oh, no, I said that 3 minutes to warm up was the 3 minutes in the future I went.
Oh, okay. So you really haven't seen any evidence this thing really works?
No, not at all.
Hmm. Now, that's an interesting story. Have you covered other instances where people claim to have built time machines?
This is the only one I was able to get a grant for, and that's the only one that I've bought so far.
That's also an interesting question, too, which is, okay, folks, how much does a time machine cost? Assuming I want to buy one. I don't have the money for a time machine right now. I will entertain loans from our listenership if you want us to buy a time machine, an official time machine for the Paracast. You know, you're welcome to contribute. But what does it cost? How much of our tax dollars are being confined to the purchase of time machines?
Well, now don't look at it negatively. It was about $350. But with that research, with what I'm telling you now and with the research that the physicists are doing on the machine, that will save many, many people $350 out of their bank accounts. So I personally think it's tax money well spent.
And do you think also maybe it gives good reason for maybe to have the authorities have a little talk with this person and say, you know what, maybe you shouldn't be selling time machines?
Well, let the buyer beware. It's a time machine. And this isn't the first time the government has spent money on something like this. I had my house was ruined in a flood back in 1993, and the government came, FEMA came, and had demanded I tell them exactly what I lost in the flood. The only thing that I wasn't able to retrieve out of my house was my beer making equipment, and the government bought me new beer making equipment. weigh those out. Which do you think is more frivolous, a time machine or home beer making equipment?
You know, I think in a situation like that, maybe it's a mixture of priorities there. If you're a beer drinker, though, the home beer making equipment might be fascinating.
Exactly.
I got a lot more use out of that than I did the time machine.
Okay, so you've never explored another time machine kind of device. Now, have you reported back to this person and say, hey, guys, you know what? Your machine isn't working. It's not doing it. What mistakes am I making?
I have tried. The person, I have a feeling, has found out that I write about these topics because I haven't. He hasn't returned phone calls, hasn't responded to letters I've written. So I've made plenty of attempts. Everything but going and knocking on his front door.
Well, that might
kind
be
of
a plan.
Gives me the willies.
Yeah, might be a plan to do that next and see what happens, see whether he throws you out. Now, what about missing time? Okay, so we have the time machine. Forget the time machine. One of the common things that happen, especially in connection with UFO abductions, but maybe not, missing time. Do we see missing time in this book?
No, not missing time. I have personally had missing time, but only about 3 minutes. But no accounts in the book.
You've personally had missing time. Not we're referring to this machine that didn't work and took 3 minutes to warm up, but something else?
Right. Once I was working the night shift at the newspaper, and I was driving home, which was about a 50-minute drive, and I got to a spot that said 5 miles to the town I was going to, and I thought this is great, because as soon as I hit that sign, my favorite Rolling Stones song, Gimme Shelter, came on the radio, which is 4 minutes and 32 seconds long. I figured, yeah, this is great. I can listen to the song all the way home. And then I don't remember anything else until my engine started dragging because I had it on cruise control and I was going up a hill, and the problem is there weren't any hills between where I was and the town I was going to, and it was quite foggy, and I had no idea where I was, and I went up and down a couple more hills until I saw a light, and I pulled in, and it was a Jehovah's Witness church that is sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and I realized where I was. I was 5 miles on the other side of the town I was going to. And as I was sitting there, I realized Gimme Shelter was still playing, and it played for another minute and a half. So
either they did an instant replay, or something weird happened to you, or maybe you fell asleep at the wheel?
Well, I can't say fell asleep at the wheel, because I had the cruise control on, and I drove 10 miles.
Was it a straightaway kind of drive, or is it something that requires a lot of curves?
There were quite a few curves, and again, I went up a couple of hills that also had curves. So I have no idea. I'm not saying it was paranormal, but that's my missing time story.
And we kind of think, though, if this really happened and he just fell asleep, we wouldn't be talking to Jason Offutt in this reality.
Probably not.
Hmm. So that was your missing time. Now, do you have a feeling as to what causes missing time in general? Is it what the UFO abductees think, that maybe ET is just causing them to forget what happened?
It could be epilepsy for all I know. I have no idea what causes this. There is something I'm thinking about exploring, because there have been a lot of paranormal encounters with people that I've interviewed, and they've come out to say, oh, I suffer from depression. So I'm wondering if, you know, some sort of clinical mental medical condition is associated with the paranormal. Not that the medical condition causes it, that maybe that they're just associated, and maybe all of this accounts for the missing time as opposed to people being abducted.
I also worry about instances which happen in people's beds, because you could be dreaming. You can have some pretty wild dreams. I know I've had some. I know my wife on occasion dreams about her late mother and her late father. But we can't say necessarily that either are visiting her.
Oh, right. Especially in my book, Darkness Walks on Shadow People, I discounted most of the stories that I received, because they were clearly received in a hypnagogic state. where you're in deep REM sleep, your body's been flooded with chemicals from your brain that basically paralyze you so you won't thrash around all night with involuntary muscle movements. But you wake up for some reason and you're still in that great dream state and you can't move, and you can see all sorts of crazy dream things, you know, shadow people, ghosts, your dead aunt, ETs, vampires, whatever, and you can't do anything about it until, you know, you snap out of that awake slash dream state.
Well, that's an important thing about dream state. How much of the so-called paranormal instances that we see might be caused by dream state issues?
Well, a lot of them can, and you've got to take into consideration, you know, where people are. If there are a lot of, you know, like you said, the abduction cases are from people's beds. Are they dreaming? Are they in that hypnagogic state? Yeah, a lot of cases they probably are. All of them, I can't say that. A lot of cases where people experience something in broad daylight and they're wide awake. I have put a lot more credibility into that.
Now, looking over cases for this book, what portion covers that or anything related to UFOs? You do much UFO coverage?
Well, I did some. I did the Herb Shermer case. There was also another case Jacques Vallée investigated back in December of 1977 in Council Bluffs, Iowa, that had to do with six or seven people saw from different corners of this large park. They saw after dark this glowing red ball or glowing white ball with a red ring around it. And then they saw something red drop from beneath it and into the park, and then the thing took off into the sky. And the people converged on this spot along with the fire department, and there was a big chunk of slag that was sitting there and melting into the snow, melting into the earth, into the frozen ground. The center of it was still white. It was so hot. And nobody knew where it came from. Nobody could explain rationally where it was about 2,000 pounds of molten slag that was, you know, appeared in this park.
I'll tell you what, we'll look into that molten metal and follow this up in a moment. Jason Offutt, author of What Lurks Beyond the Paranormal in Your Backyard. The co-host is Nicholas Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the podcast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.